Hey, my beautiful gemsters, welcome back to another segment. Thank you so much for listening. For those of you that are new to the community, I am Miss Genesis Amaris Kemp, the founder and host. For those seasoned listeners, you already know it's your girl, Genesis. But today with me is a very special guest by the name of Kayvon Valentine. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who he is. And then we're going to dive into a powerful segment with lots of gems that will be dropped. So make sure you're catching them. Kayvon Valentine is a successful author, curriculum course developer, and training consultant. The depth of his knowledge combined with his interesting life experiences and storytelling makes every event that he leads meaningful and entertaining. He is the executive director of Live Above the Hype, an edutainment nonprofit company that supports the personal development of youth and young adults and the professional development of educators, service providers, leaders, and other corporate staff. Kayvon has a profound ability to facilitate conversations on complex and uncomfortable topics by delivering content that is organized intentionally to create dialogue with interactive and self-reflective activities that create more understanding, empathy, self-awareness, group awareness, and emotional intelligence. But that's not all. A bio could only do so much. So let's welcome the man behind it all, Kayvon Valentine.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And before we dive into the episode, I always like to allow my guests to be able to connect with the audience in a fun and personal manner. So are you in the mood for a rapid fire 10 question game, emphasis on rapid, or an icebreaker?
Let's do it. Do I pick one?
Yes, pick one.
Icebreaker.
Okay. So I'm going to do something different. So I'm big on backgrounds. I see in your background, it says Beyond the Crack Generation with the old school boombox. For those of you that don't know, go Google what a boombox is. So why is that image and saying so important for you?
Well, that's the book that I wrote called Beyond the Crack Generation. And that era was such a pivotal time period. And that music, that boombox, all of that is just very symbolic of that time period. It was very pivotal for American culture as a whole.
Okay, let's dive a little bit deeper into that. And that's going to segue into storytelling for impactful learning, because some people may not be keen on the crack generation, boombox, or some of the things that people had to endure while growing up in that set unset time. So yeah. When you see the crack generation and you think about what you learned during that generation to where we are now, would you say that it has improved, if any?
I mean, it depends on what we're talking about. It's such a layered conversation. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff, most of it, I think we have not improved. I think we've actually, you know, I like to be an optimist, but to be honest with you, I think we have gone backwards in many ways.
Okay, let's start going beyond the surface level then. What is the crack generation? Because some people are like, oh yeah, I know what the crack is, but they really don't know how the crack generation has broken apart families and how it has also left a deficit in certain African-American communities.
Absolutely. See, and the reason I wrote the book, and to your point, like, because it is deep, is because many who are familiar with the crack epidemic and all of that, and you know, they're familiar with the devastation of the families and also the mass incarceration and just all of those things. But the reason I didn't call it like the crack epidemic and I call it the crack generation, beyond the crack generation, is because I wanted to focus on that era and the generation that was born around that time, whether you was actually directly affected by the epidemic or totally, you know, far removed from it. It affected the generation because it affected the culture, you know. So anybody that was born around the late 70s up into early 90s, you know, is that crack generation that was totally hit and affected by the cultural components to what happened during the crack epidemic.
Okay, let's talk about the cultural things that happened during the crack generation. Were you personally brought up in that generation? And did you lose any loved ones, or was your family destroyed or taken back? And when I say destroyed, maybe your family was a unit, but because a crack got involved, that unit started to disassemble.
Right. Yeah, no. See, for me, you know, I was raised by my mother, single mother, but strong support system, you know, very, very, very engaged. You know, the mother that will pull up at the school and show up, you know, I grew up in that with that type of support system. Right. But I still had to go outside. Mm-hmm. And when we saw, like, give you an example, when we talk about and to answer your question, I mean, I do have some people that were affected by it, you know, some loved ones that was directly affected by it and things of that nature. But again, the main thing is the cultural shifts. So using that as an example, just a quick surface example. My mom, if you talk about what's her oldies, have her name some of her favorite artists coming up. Marvin Gaye, Al Green, you know, Diana Ross or whoever, right? Ask me who are mine.
Who are yours?
Too Short, Ice Cube, DJ Quick. You see, it's a total different mindset. Just that alone, right? Like my oldies, you know, told me certain things about women and told me certain things about how to deal with conflict in my community. As where previously it was about love, whether the guys and the women really believed what they were saying or not, they were still singing about love, right? You know, you had to woo a woman. You had, you know. Our generation during the crack, it was the total opposite. You know, young men and young ladies alike grew up in this culture, you know, and I could go on and on, but it created a certain shift in our mindset. And that shift led to the cultural norms that we are seeing today that a lot of us are complaining about.
Okay, let's talk about these cultural norms that we're seeing today. What are some of the things that we're seeing today that has been derived from the crack generation, and people don't really realize that it was a crack generation that onset some of the cultural norms today, but they're just going with the times versus saying, hold up, pause, pump your brake. Let me see, does this really follow suit? And is this something that is learned behavior, or is this something that I need to debunk and go a different way in order for different results?
Yeah, I could think of a few of them. One is that lack of communal connection. You know, I got to get mine. You get yours, I get mine. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of that came from this time period. Another thing is the total breakdown between previous generations and younger generations, where, you know, any healthy community, you find that the young people respect the elders. They might not always listen to the elders. They may still do their own thing, but there still was a certain reverence for the elders. Mm-hmm. That was broken down during this crack epidemic, during this cultural period. And I'll give you an example of why. I mean, I share this a lot because it's so pivotal to understand this. During the crack epidemic, you know, the crack drug, crack cocaine came into the communities, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a whole conversation within itself. But when it got here, when it arrived, if you look at that time period, you find that children sold crack. Mm-hmm. Adults typically smoked crack. So think about what's going on. It was a child's business. So you didn't see 30-year-olds on the corner selling crack to 30-year-olds. You saw 13-year-olds selling crack to 30-year-olds. Total shift in the, you know, the generational hierarchy in our communities.
Let's pause there. But how did the children get the crack in order to sell it to the adults? And who's giving them the crack to sell it to the adults? And shouldn't those adults be mindful and have some type of cognizant and coherent to know, wait, something's not right here. I don't need to be buying these drugs from this young adolescent. This young adolescent needs to do something that is going to revolutionize who they are as a person and what they could become in society. But instead they're selling crack. Come on, let's wake up here now. I'm a 90s baby.
Yeah.
See,
that would be great, you know, ideally if people thought that way. But again, you got to remember this substance was so powerful. It's like one of the most powerful substances to, you know, that man had ever experienced. It totally took over their brain. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at that time period, you know, I mean, unfortunately, it was so tragic. You would find women, parents, mothers giving up their, like trying to sell their babies. Like it was so detrimental on the mind. It wasn't like smoking weed and I'm just high, or I'm not trying mm-hmm. to, you know, advocate for any kind of substance use, but mm-hmm. you know, certain substances have different effects. Mm-hmm. The crack piece, the, you know, the crack cocaine totally consumed the addict, where mm-hmm. it didn't matter. So which brings you even asking that brings another point out that's so powerful, that these people who are addicted, because I try to take the shame out the addiction, because I know it was chemical warfare. These people that were, you know, drug addicted, they were so consumed by this drug that they were willing to do almost, if not anything, for this drug. Now, let's put it back in the context of what I just shared. Let's say I'm a 13-year-old kid, and I'm on this corner for hours and hours and hours selling drugs to adults, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, who are willing to do anything that my imagination conjures up, literally anything. And I'm a 13-year-old kid. What you think that does to my psyche? You know, now can't nobody tell me nothing. I've been out here, you know, mm-hmm. king of the corner for, you know, for 4 hours every day or 8 hours. Now, now you want me to sit in class and the teacher tell me to stop talking or what? You can't tell me nothing. You see what I'm saying? It warps the psyches of the young people. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, before, I don't want to keep going on and on, but I just want to say this too, just a footnote. It didn't mean that when crack hit the community, like say in the Black community, every kid was selling crack and every adult was smoking crack. It didn't work that way. But what made this so potent is the people who were affected were very influential to the greater community. It's very similar to going to high school. Mm-hmm. If you got a high school and you got 1,000 kids and 1,000 students in the high school, if you got 10 bullies, those 10 bullies will run the school. You don't need 900 bullies to run a school. All you need is 10, right? Mm-hmm. And they will tend to influence the whole student body. That's how it was with this culture. This culture tended to influence the larger community who was not necessarily directly, you know, involved in it.
Wow. And it's just eye-opening just to hear these things as well as see these things, because some people don't really understand how big the crack generation was and how it influenced external people as well as internally, whether it was, you know, in the economics, in households, in education, etc. Because I'm sure these young students that you mentioned, you know, they feel like they're above the world, like they're making all this cash, can't nobody tell me nothing, they're untouchable to them. So they may not feel like, oh, what's the point of going to school because I'm making all this money over here, I don't really need school. But then when the crack generation fades out and a new substance comes into place, then what is their source?
Right. And not even that. A lot of times they didn't even make it to the next drug. See, because it was a false sense of power. Because what came with the drugs, like we said earlier, mass incarceration, a lot of jail time. It was a false sense of power. It was also a very violent time. A lot of people didn't even get to live out their life, right? So the thing about, like I say, I work on taking out the shame, because you know, hindsight is 20/20. Looking back, it's like, duh, you should have knew this. But you know, just think about, this is how it used to work. This is what will happen. Because you asked another question I didn't want to forget. You said, how did the kids even get the drugs, right?
Yes, how did they?
See, remember this, there's something that's another very valid point to bring up. Unlike any other drug trade, crack was so easily accessible. Like if you look at, I like watching a lot of those old mob movies and gangster movies, right? And when you watch him, you'll see the OG, the big time, whoever's running the gang, he got the pecking order. And then you have the kids as the runner, you know, go run and go give me a sandwich. Go run and drop this package off, right? And that kid was working his way up into the organization, mm-hmm. right? He had to get vetted out. And it was a whole process before he actually gets involved in the criminal business of that organization. I say all that to say crack was not like that. If you had the money, you had the access. Literally, that's all it took. So if I'm a kid and I'm 13 years old and I save up my lunch money for a couple weeks, you know what I mean? I save up $20. Yeah. $20, you know, they were selling it. Yeah, you know, they were selling it wholesale to those who wanted to get in the drug trade. So if I got $20, I go to my local dope man who's processing, I mean, who's distributing $20, get $40 worth, right? Sell that $40, give me $80, and I could keep going on and on. But what I'm saying is it was no vetting out. So I could literally be a kid who wants to grow up and be a dentist. But then I see my friends making money who are selling it. And I say, what you need to do to be into that? Mm-hmm. Oh, all you need is $20. Oh, really? Next thing you know, I get my $20. Now I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of I had the pursuits of being a dentist, now because of the culture around me, I'm a full-time crack dealer, right? Contrary to popular belief, it wasn't these hardcore criminals. These were kids who grew up in American society. And American society told us, buy low, sell high, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a capitalist society. So a lot of kids at this time thought they found the magic beans. Like, oh, I turned 20 turned into 40, 40 turned into 80, 80 turned into 160, 160 turned into 80. I found it. I don't need to go to school no more.
Yeah.
Right? But they didn't know the end of the story came with a lot of pain and a lot of, you know, just destruction. So that's mm-hmm. why I wanted to make sure I tell this story.
And I'm glad that you're telling this story, because what I think about now is, now that we are beyond the crack generation, one of the things that's facing a lot of young kids now is fentanyl.
Yes.
And so many kids are doing it. So many kids are dying. There was actually a news article the other day where I think the father let his 13-year-old son do fentanyl, and someone in the house said, hey, you should check on the kid, he's not doing so well. And the dad apparently said, oh, let him sleep it off or whatnot. That child ends up dying. And now the father is in prison. He's incarcerated. Mm. I think prison or jail, I'm mixing them up. One is, you know, longer term than whatnot, but don't quote me. But anywho, the father's incarcerated, but it just behooves me being a mother to a child, that someone will go out of their way and let their child partake in that.
Yeah, I don't know the details of that particular incident, but another thing that I can speak on with that is, and I don't know if this is directly tied to that previous generation we talked about or not, but the parenting style, you know, and again, I can't speak on that particular situation because I don't know that, mm-hmm. but a lot of parents still want to be the youth. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't want to be your dad. I want to be your big homie. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to be no, you're his father. You know, I'm mm-hmm. his father. You know, I got silver hair. You know, I embrace it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have this infatuation with staying the youth. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think a lot of that has influenced the way we parent. And again, I'm not speaking on that situation because I don't know.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of it. I see a lot of the young people that I work with. They say, you know, Mr. Valentine, you know, you're the most like stable person, man, I've ever met in my life. Like, because I'm cool. I'm quote unquote cool, but I'm stern. I give structure. Like, I'm like, young man, I'm not your friend. I'm not your homie. You know what I'm saying? We can laugh, we can joke, but I don't play. I laugh and joke, but I don't play with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we need that in our community. And that's one of the things that we lost, that mm-hmm. that the kid that I just talked about on the corner didn't have a man to look up to other than mm-hmm. the dope boy, right? Yeah. It didn't mean the men wasn't there. It just meant that his value shifted. As one time, you may respect the mechanic who has his own business. You know, he may not be rich, but he was a strong man in the community. You know, he had values, and I respect quote unquote Mr. Jones or whoever. Yeah. But after this crack epidemic and this psyche is changing my mind, and I'm only respecting those who got the jewelry and the money. Mr. Jones, I don't respect him no more. He ain't rich. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's an illusion that they're painting for this younger generation. I feel like we need to help the younger generation see things beyond different perspectives to know that just because somebody has a lot of money, a lot of jewelry and fame, you don't know what they did to get that lifestyle. Kind of like the song that says, I did a lot just to live this lifestyle. What do you want to do a lot to live, and how do you want to live a lifestyle? Do you want that lifestyle to honor you and respect some of the values that you have? Or do you want to have the cars, the clothes, the girls, the guys and whatnot, but then you're empty inside and you have no type of morals, you have no type of boundaries, people don't respect you. They only respect you for what you could do for them, not for what they get in return. And then it's like a never ending cycle.
See, and that's what's so huge, because you have to, based on how you just shared that, the challenge is you got to do that every day. You got to prove yourself every day. You know, it's because it's not real. It's not based on love. It's based on this image. So I got to put on this image every single day, you know, and that's exhausting. And it's just, it's not sustainable. It's ridiculous. So that's something that we, you know, when we talk about like going beyond the crack generation and working with these young people, helping them, you know, I also wrote a curriculum called Live Above the Hype. Help our young people live above this hype.
Yeah.
You know, you can be, success doesn't always equate to who got the biggest bag of money. You know what I'm saying? You know, it don't always mean that. Yeah, we all, I mean, I know I would like to be financially comfortable and all of that, but it doesn't mean whoever get the most money necessarily wins if it's at the cost of losing so much that money can't buy, right?
Exactly. And I did an episode with this guy who, you know, he had the money, he had a 14,500 square foot home, a jet and all, and he lost it all. He lost his wife, he lost his business, and he had to start back over. So sometimes money does not always bring happiness. And what's the price that you're willing to pay? And I feel like if I'm talking directly to you as a youth for listening, you know, you're not always going to figure it out. You're not always going to have it right. But what you can do is look at where you are now and where it is that you want to go and where you want to be at, and reverse engineer it to take the steps to get you there. What is your vehicle that is going to allow you to have that wealth without settling for less, to have that wealth without compromising who you are, to have that wealth without trying to live and die by a code, have that wealth to go beyond what your parents did. Your goal is to become better and brighter than your parents was. Your parents are laid a foundation, your community laid a foundation, but that does not always mean that that foundation is the best foundation. So you should always go out and seek the knowledge of the understanding and the wisdom to set yourself up for success. No one else is going to do it for you but you. So in order to go beyond certain generations and beyond certain demographics, you have to take a path of least resistance. You can't always follow suit of what has been laid out for you. And if that's the case, everybody would be millionaires. Look, you know, Elon Musk took a path least resistant. Steve Jobs took a path least resistant. Some of the other people who have all this money did not follow the quote unquote status quo. They chose another way of doing things. And in the end, they got what they want. And now more people are knowing their name and their brand because they did something that was outside of the ordinary in order to be extraordinary. And that can be you if you just get off the path and stop following people and start leading where you are.
That's it right there. That's a mic drop.
So with this book, Beyond the Crack Generation, some of the things that you are doing with the youth and the young adults today, what do you want them to know about the movement that and the mission behind the work that you're doing?
Right. So all of this, whether it be this book, Beyond the Crack Generation, or the curriculum, Live Above the Hype, or the courses that I've developed, all of it is to develop the mindset, you know. You know, and a lot of times the mindset, you know, we have to start with our self-image. So that's where you get Live Above the Hype, helping young people. You really embrace a positive self-image and live above this cultural hype around them. Then we have Beyond the Crack Generation, which is a more in-depth look at why these things are there. And this is more for those who work with the community, whether it be a teacher, an educator, a social worker, to help to more empower them. And then I have courses, because it's like, okay, now that I got myself identity together and I'm a service provider and I understand the community, now what? So then I have trainings and courses and things of that nature, because I understood, like, for me personally, when my self-image changed, my life changed, you know. When I started letting go of my self-limiting beliefs, then abundance started coming. Like, all of the stuff that I heard that sound like, yeah, okay, you know. I see this stuff is real. My positive affirmations, all of that stuff that I thought was corny, I realize now, no, that's a daily routine that I can't live without, you know? So it's just really to help shift some of the destructive cultural norms in our community. I don't try to fix nobody. I don't try to save nobody. You know, I try to help support people heal if I can, but that's it. I just don't want us to be lied to. I want us to walk in our truth. And then from there, you're free to do whatever you want to do.
Yes, I definitely love all that. And one other thing that just resonates with me as you were talking, once you know who you are internally, externally, you're going to show up as who you are, and you're not going to be what they want you to be. And the they could be fill in the blank. It could be the world. It could be your family members. It could be your friends. It could be your homegirl, your homeboy, whatnot. They may want you to be a certain way, but you already know who you are. So you're not going to shake and bake like Ricky Bobby, because you are destined to your purpose and your higher calling of why you were created and how are you going to exist in the world and how you're going to show up day in and day out. Even though if you may slip, trip, and fall and have some screw ups or some F ups, you're still going to get back in line and be the person and do the damn thing that you were called to do, because you don't need nobody else to whip you in shape, because you already know what you need to do. So I just love that. And you just dropped some incredible gems there, because self-image is key. Getting away from doubt, limiting beliefs, IS, which is imposter syndrome, and lack. Because sometimes I feel lack can also condition a person to think a certain way, where it could rewire them to feel as if they are not good enough, when in actuality, you are good enough. You just need to start to believe it. Whether you need to have the affirmations that Kayvon talked about, whether you need to, you know, print out a picture of what you look like back then with what you're going to look like now and going forward, whatever you need to do to get yourself in the positive image, that is what you need to do. And I tell people, put it on your refrigerator, because you're going to go to your refrigerator to get a drink of water and eat every single day, and put it in your car, because those are some places that you're going to be at, you're going to go to, and have it right in front of you. So, Kayvon, how can they reach out to you and continue to engage in this powerful conversation? What's your website?
Absolutely. My website is, you could go to liveabovethehype.org, or you could find me on IG. I'm getting more intentional about being on social media. You can find me at Live Above It. And also, if you want to get a little deeper, more of my consulting, then you go to innersunconsulting.com. That's INNERSUN consulting.com.
Okay, and that's all his calls to action. So get into his pipeline on Instagram. Check out his website, where you can find more information and continue to go down this path with consulting, which is paid consulting, y'all. Don't pick our brain for free. Pick a price package and let us do life with you, okay? So all of his information will be in the show notes. And my big ask for y'all is to like, follow, and subscribe to the podcast, and leave a review, y'all. Reviews are amazing. Tell me what you like, what you don't like, because all of that is going to help me become a better host and bring on incredible guests like Kayvon Valentine. So I'm going to let Kayvon sign us out with a quote, and then I'll close out with the goodies. Okay, what's your quote, Kayvon?
Give yourself permission to be great.
Give yourself permission to be great. Is that a personal Kayvon quote, or is that from somebody else?
Personal. That's a personal Kayvon quote. Give yourself permission to be great. Live above the hype.
I love it. And y'all, my quote is, you are a gem and there's no other like you. Your fingerprints are uniquely yours. So stop trying to be a carbon copy of somebody else when you were uniquely created for such a time as this. So just do the damn thing and be great today, tomorrow, and future days to come. Signing out with peace, love, and lots of blessings. Have an amazing day, y'all, and take a bet on yourself.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, Kayron.